Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, Andy. Welcome to the men's room.
Random.
Hello.
Hola. Random. Andy, welcome to the program. Random question. Let's see here.
Hey. Real quick, I wanted to say how cool it was seeing B. Ted Smith before the TSO concert this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Dude, I keep telling everybody, man, that Trans-Siberian Orchestra show was awesome.
It was.
Yeah,
did Ted give you I do declare?
No, I wasn't brave enough to go approach, but still.
I stuck one out on stage.
Okay, good.
I'm telling you, man, next year when they come around, like Christmas music or not, like go see that show.
You've been talking about it all day, man. Now I'm like amped to go.
All right, let's go to this random question. The holidays are almost here. What is the farthest would you say that you've ever traveled to visit friends or family, just in general, at any time?
Yeah, I think it'd probably be back to Minnesota, which is where I'm from, to see my parents.
Have you ever driven it?
Oh, yeah, multiple times.
Okay, and
how long does it take?
Usually we do it in, like, 3 or 4 days, but that's with a stop in South Dakota or something.
Okay. Is that your only stop, or do you stop in Montana or Spokane or whatever?
Actually, no. We usually do stop in Montana just somewhere to sleep, but there's not much else other than that.
How many of you are in the car when you're traveling?
Last time it was, my dog. Oh, God, I shouldn't start. My wife, my two kids, and my dog.
Jesus.
My dog. I respect that.
Who else was there? Oh, yeah, my wife and two kids. Okay.
How old are your kids?
At least I had my dog.
Yeah.
How old are your kids?
Right now, they're 11 and 8.
Okay. Are they decent travelers on that distance of a road trip?
No, they're not. It's best when they're sleeping. But, yeah, they don't travel well at all.
So how many hours before they really start losing their minds and making you angry?
They'll start fighting within 5 minutes in the car.
Do they typically fight at home, or do they just go in their own rooms? Is it proximity?
No, they fight at home too.
Okay,
they're just like, yeah, they fight all the time.
And then you give them like the dad speech, like, look, guys, we're gonna be in the car for a long time. I don't want any of this, any of that. Blah 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 blah. Do you go through all that, or are you just resigned to your fate that your words mean nothing?
I try usually at first, and then I just give up.
Okay. Now, is it because they're similar or because they're so different from each other?
They're as different as they could be. One's a boy, one's a girl, and they do not.
Okay. Which one's more like you?
I don't even know. I think they're both like my wife, but like both parts of her personality split into two.
Okay.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing, or do you wish maybe your personality contributed just a little more to the kids?
So it would be nice if it did, but I know that they will both be very strong, independent children in one way or another.
Yes, they will.
Like, yeah, we hear what you're saying. Look, we have decoded that.
At least you're still married to your wife, correct?
Yep, that's right. Yep,
okay,
7 years.
So the worst thing is when you're divorced and you're no longer with somebody that you want to be with anymore.
Right.
And then you have children with them. and then you see that you really can never leave this person. You never really got divorced.
Right.
They just morphed into a smaller version of what you used to be married to, which are also your children.
Right.
But you notice some tendencies that kind of lean more to the other side. And yeah. I'm sure the same can be said on both sides. So, like, look, all I wanted to do was get rid of Miles and get the hell out of there.
Right.
But now I got this kid who says the same kind of crap that he
does. Right. Same attitude, same laugh.
You can never get away from it. Right. And whatever the thing is, you're just like, you want to say something, but you don't. But you watch it with amazement because you're like, I cannot believe I'm watching these reruns
right.
of a show that I didn't like the first time. You know, it's like, just like, it's amazing just how similar people can be, even though they don't even realize it.
Of course not. But I mean, you know, it's nature and
their genetics are, you know.
You gave them the genetics and you raised them in your home.
Correct.
Inevitably, they're going to be like you, which, and trust me, if you are married and have kids, there are a couple of things that are universally true. Your spouse will point out to you a characteristic of one of the kids that reminds them of you, but it's never the positive one.
Yeah.
It's never that. And then also, you know if you're going to get good or bad news about your child based on the ownership of the kid. So if it's, hey, do you know what my daughter did today? Something very positive. Do you know what
right.
your daughter did today? Something very negative.
Yes.
And now, you can't help but do it.
Now, I have not done this yet, but the farther I'm ever going to travel in my life to see my family is coming up this holiday break over the Christmas holidays.
Because
I'm going to go see my daughter. The initial flight to Newark is 4.5.
4.5, 5 hours.
Just depends on what the deal is. It'll obviously be 6 coming back. But then that flight from Newark to Johannesburg.
Is that a direct flight?
It is a direct flight.
How many hours?
Between 16 and 17 hours in the air. So that is going to be, and
then you get to do it again.
Then a lot of driving when you get there, a lot of.
All right, so you land in Johannesburg. How long before you get to the point that you can just relax and start enjoying your time?
I want to say the next day we start picking right back up as far as starting to travel toward where the first stop is.
Which is the first stop the safari?
It is, like three or 4 days.
Well, the safari's 3 or 4 days, or it's going to take you 3 or 4 days to get there?
We'll get there in a day, but the safari itself, once we get there, will be 3 or 4 days of...
Depending on what? I feel like they should have a more solid number, you know, like it's 4 days, or it is not 3 or 4, maybe 10 if we get lost.
Correct. It just depends on a lot of different things as far as being able to get from point A to point B.
Or that they have no control.
And are you driving in Johannesburg?
I mean, I did not rent a car. It's more of a thing where they kind of put take you on a shuttle bus to wherever you need to go. Then you get on a little bush plane.
Are you taking a bush plane too?
A few of them, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So you got to fly.
That's probably the most dangerous thing you'll do.
Flying a bush plane?
Yeah, they
crash
a lot.
When it crashes in the wilderness, man, and elephants smell the blood and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, trust me.
It's the one time the elephants and lions get together like,
let's go get this back to where weighing your bag is very important. How much you bring?
Yeah, on those planes for sure.
No, that's very, very strict. Like, look, guys, we're just going to throw your stuff away.
Yeah, I mean, they had to.
You're not coming back to that point.
Right.
So you're not going to be able to get your crap back.
What do you have to take with you? As far like you've gotten your shots, all this crap, right? But it's for once you get on that bush plane and you're going out into the wilderness, what is the maximum crap you're bringing?
Well, I'm
going
to bring a ball of yarn.
Of course.
And I've got a laser pointer for the lions. And any cheetah or big game.
But I mean, is it just clothes? Do you need canteens? Do you
need?
Do they provide? I'm sure you bring your own binoculars. All that kind of crap.
All those different things. Binoculars, correct. You need basically to keep yourself out of the sun as much as possible
in Africa.
So I'm going to bring probably some sleeves that I would wear.
Right.
You got to get like the what do they call those now? The sun shirts that you can go swimming in and stuff.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Like everybody wears them. Like especially people that fish all the time. So they're very light and, like, kind of help you stay cool, but also protect you.
Your biggest enemies out there, apparently, are the sun and mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes, yeah.
Now, those are the ones that can really mess you up and ruin a couple days.
Are you going to get one of those big...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Crocodile Dundee hats or whatever.
I am definitely going to wear a Indiana Dundee hat.
Yeah.
You know, I'll look like that I'm an archaeologist. A veggie dog just walked in the studio.
I was curious because you said the safari could take 3 or 4 days. Does that depend on whether that time is spent collecting your body parts?
to be honest with you, apart? It depends on whether you can get past certain road checkpoints.
Ah.
Okay. Now, these checkpoints, like, manned by people with guns or animal
that
style?
That is correct. And that's one of the reasons that you can't wear camouflage.
Right.
In a lot of parts of Africa, because you'll be shot, because people think that you're a member of the military.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the things that, you know, yeah, you can't. It's illegal. You can't wear that stuff.
No, I know. I just feel like you're going to look a little different, camouflage or not, the rank and file.
I would think so.
Well, I mean, I tan pretty good. You know?
Yeah.
It only takes a couple days for me.
There he is.
I think they're going to be like, that's a tourist.
Yeah, exactly. The guy who looks like an apple, he's red. He right. Should not have gone to the pool.
I mean, this is probably way off base, but I hope somebody calls you White Devil.
Well, I mean,
you know, I kind of do too. But as a greeting, like when you step off the plane at welcome to Johannesburg, White Devil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll start singing Sun City. Remember that song?
I remember that.
Yeah. But that was about apartheid. That was anti-apartheid.
I'm interested. Yeah,
there weren't a whole lot of pro-apartheid songs hitting stuff.
So I know in South Africa there's a specific beer that everybody drinks. But, you know, like when people say AB, it's not Anheuser-Busch. It's South African Brewing that owns
InBev.
But, yeah. But InBev, I think, is the Miller Coors people.
I thought it was the other way.
No,
either way.
Yeah, where it's,
so just, but I'm saying, that's what, so I'm wondering when you're in South Africa, because South African Brewing owns all that stuff, like, can you still get a fresh Budweiser?
I don't know. I mean, you would think.
Probably in Johannesburg.
It is the number one
sure.
export of beer as far as the United States is concerned.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me if they did have that one. Jack Daniels, I would also expect to see as far
you
as
cannot believe
our exports.
How big of a deal Jack Daniels and Budweiser. I did not really realize this. So as far as the farthest I've ever traveled to see family or friend, flew to England like 30 years ago, whatever it was.
But as far as being in a car, like Andy, who called. I mean, didn't your parents used to drag you across
Rochester
the
to L.A.?
And how many times did you guys do that trip?
I want to say 2 times I definitively remember, maybe 3 times. We would also drive from upstate to Houston, Texas. And just Texas is a very, very large place, so that sucked. But with the Budweiser and Jack Daniels, when I said told my buddy, hey, man, I'm going to visit you in York, England. He's like, cool. Hey, do me a favor, man. My father really wants a bottle of Jack Daniels. And keep in mind, this is late 80s, early 90s, so Jack Daniels, heavy metal. Like, to me, I'm like, let's buy a goddamn bottle of Jack Daniels. Anyway, I bring him a big-ass handle of Jack Daniels. His father, I'm pretty sure he got an erection. This dude calls his two buddies over. They sit down dead silent in his dining room. They pop that lid off, and they're just sipping it. But it's kind of like King of the Hill. So just picture a bunch of guys sitting there. No one's really talking, but you get the occasional. Like, that was it. So finally, man, I'm like, dude, what is? I'm like, we drink this stuff like water in the States. He goes, I think it has changed now, but at the time, he's like, it's because you have it. We can't get Jack Daniels, and it set the absolute like whiskey standard around the world at the time. Anyway,
no, there's scotch. I mean,
they didn't want scotch. They wanted Jack
there's
Daniels.
Irish whiskey.
They didn't want that.
That's a totally different flavor profile.
Absolutely.
Than anything that they have as far as their own brand.
They wanted Jack Daniels. And the thing is, one of the guys, I don't think it was his father, but one of the guys had been to the States before and had had Jack Daniels, and I guess in the 40 years since he had visited, like, he would not shut up about it.
That's why we don't have a popular Irish whiskey that's made in the U.S.
Right.
Because you're not going to do it as well. I mean, you can do it. It's just not going to
be. You can do it. It'll just be a little different because of the climates and everything
and
else.
I realize that maybe only Tullamore Dew still does it in Ireland.
Well, Jameson, I think, is still made in Ireland, but the Irish don't own it. Tullamore Dew's thing is that it's the only distillery still owned by the Irish.
I got you. Okay.